Episode 74, How to Be Frugal on a Single Income, with budget girl Sarah Wilson.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jen.
This is Jill. We're starting a musical.
Yes. This is the musical episode of the Frugal Friends Podcast. Not really, but I'm feeling good because today we have an interview with Sarah Wilson, known as Budget Girl on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it's on a topic that we get so many questions about: being frugal and paying off debt when you're single. Mm. And Jill and I don't have any experience, so we brought someone who has all the experience.
Mm-hmm. We're not experts. We don't claim to be experts on everything, so we bring in the experts. You're welcome. Yeah.
We're only experts on singing podcasts.
Yeah.
And for the money, let's get into our sponsors and pay for our song and dance here.
This stuff doesn't come for free.
No, it don't. We are very happy to be partnering with Rakuten. They are a shopping portal online and in store offering you cash back for doing the shopping that you would do anyway. So Amazon, mm-hmm. Walmart, travel sites, Groupon, all kinds of random things. You can probably get cash back from Rakuten. And a really easy way to see is just downloading their Chrome browser extension. And it tells you mm-hmm. right when you visit the site whether there's a percentage of cash back offered. So we love using Rakuten as just a little extra way to make some extra money for online shopping we do anyway. I actually, if I have to buy something at Target, will buy it online, get the cash back from Rakuten, and pick it up for free in the store. Keeps me from browsing and impulse mm-hmm. buying, and I still get
that cash
back.
Saves you money from impulse buying. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So if you haven't tried it yet, I recommend trying it on Target, just like I said, and you'll get a $10 welcome bonus on your first purchase of $25 or more. Super easy to do at target.com. So just visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/Rakuten and you will get that $10 welcome bonus after you make a $25 purchase.
Free money coming to you in the mail.
Or on PayPal.
Also brought to you by Saving Your Wrappers. We're mostly talking about gum here, but I'm sure you can get creative with other types of wrappers. For an avid gum chewer myself, I am a big fan of saving my tiny paper or foil wrappers. There's nothing worse than chewing the last bit of flavor out of that stick of gum and not having any place to spit it out. If you're my grandfather, you would just put the chewed gum behind your ear for later use. But choose the more hygienic option and save your wrapper. Saving wrappers, saving sidewalks, the underside of desks, and the back of your ears since about 1946. Mm. I don't know. I made up that number.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, other wrappers.
It sounds about
other
right.
Wrappers that deserve saving might be Eminem, Kanye West, Drake, Nicki Minaj.
What are you saving Kanye, Nicki, and Drake
from?
Obscurity.
So. Listen to their music. I don't know. It just would, it made me think of that. And, you know, whatever you do in your life, go for saving it.
I can't. It's too late. It's past my bedtime.
Jill. So, I'm going to introduce our guest today. It is Sarah Wilson from Budget Girl on YouTube. She has 45,000 YouTube subscribers. She paid off over $30,000 of debt, making less than $26,000 at points. And so she is an expert in paying off debt without a second income, without a high income. And she's just got some great things to say about being frugal when there's a limit to how many costs you can cut. So without further ado,
yes,
let's get into it. Welcome, Sarah from Budget Girl. We are so excited to have you on today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, Sarah. Glad to have you.
Yeah. When we were starting the Frugal Friends podcast, I don't know if you remember this, but I emailed you and I was like, we have to get you on. You'd be a perfect guest. And then we just started getting all these other guests. And now, over a year and a half later, now we finally have you on.
I'm very glad I lived around.
The crowd that kind of came in when we had our sights set on one girl off in the distance. Yes. And then everyone else came and we just kind of had to weed through it to get
you. You know what? I am always happy to be waiting in the wings, ready to like come party anytime, anywhere, anyplace. So
yeah, it was perfect because we actually had a lot of interest in our Facebook group, the Frugal Friends community, about paying off debt when you're single. Mm. We have a lot of single people, and we got a comment on there that she just found that a lot of personal finance advice wasn't applicable to her because she was single. Mm-hmm. And at least that's what she thought. And so I instantly thought of you. No better person to talk on this subject as you who've paid off so much debt. So first, can you tell us about your debt payoff journey and just get everybody up to speed who doesn't already know about you?
Absolutely. So in 2014, I lost my job. I was a section editor for a newspaper and they found someone who could do it cheaper. Mm. So I was out of work for like 5 months and I was terrified because to that point I hadn't been paying on my student loans. I was deferring them because I was only making about like 24, 25 grand a year. I was also not budgeting, so I can't tell you exactly what I was making. But I swore, being in that place of on unemployment, thinking that I had all this debt above me, 33 grand to be exact, and it was just growing every day, and thinking that I was going to have to go work like food service to survive, and that like the entire college experience was going to be for nothing, and that I was just done. I was worried about being done. I was worried about being able to eat. And I swore that when I got a new job that I would do whatever it took to get out of debt. So after about 5 months on unemployment, I took a job in another state and moved from Mississippi to a small town in Louisiana as a beat reporter for a small newspaper for $26,000 a year. I moved into the cheapest apartment that I could find. It was $400 a month.
Whoa, nice.
It was not in a good place.
There's a reason it was $400 a month.
Nice. Okay.
And I started budgeting. And I budgeted every single cent that was coming in. And I made it my job and my hobby to make more money to try to pay off debt.
Mm.
So I worked a full shift at the newspaper, try to get as many overtime hours as I could. I did as many side hustles as I could. I trained dogs.
Was that a side hustle?
It was a side hustle.
And that's amazing.
To train dogs. I have a dog that is well trained.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yes. I did secret shopping. So one of my secret shoppings was going to Walmart gas stations and attempting to buy cigarettes. Because at this point, I was like 20. I was in my early 20s or late 20s and seeing if they carded or not. Don't ask me to do math on my age. usually they did not. And so they would get in trouble and I would have just a lot of cigarettes that I would resell for more money, which was recently pointed out to me is probably illegal.
That's amazing.
So yeah, I'd get paid like $8 to go purchase cigarettes at a gas station and I'd get reimbursed for the cigarettes as well. And then I'd resell the cigarettes for like $4 to a coworker of mine. So that turned, like doing that once a week at some of the local gas stations turned into a little bit of a good side hustle. When that wasn't enough, I started like flipping things that I found at yard sales and on the side of the road. And then I started delivering pizzas from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. after my shift at the newspaper.
Whoa.
I gamified getting out of debt. So after 2 years, paying off 10 grand each year, making $26,000 a year living in Louisiana, I took a better position in Arkansas. And there I was making 30 grand a year. And I did the exact same thing. I put all of my raise to debt and I kept gamifying it. I had purchased things at yard sales and flipped them to the local thrift store or consignment store. I would, you know, I started the YouTube channel, which at that point was actually making me a little bit of money. And I threw all of that in debt. And after 3 years and 3 months, I had it all paid off.
Dang.
Whoa.
On such a small salary too. Yeah. That's amazing. How did you have the energy to do that? Like that kind of hustle nonstop. I mean, we all have capacity. How did you keep that rhythm up for 3 years?
Well, a lot of people looked at the videos that I was doing towards the end and they're like, I can't achieve that level. And therefore, I shouldn't even try. But what I always tell people is that frugality is a muscle. You have to build it up. So I started with trimming my grocery bill and doing some meal planning and shopping the sales. And that cut down my grocery budget a little bit. And then I started doing this just one little side hustle. And I figured out how to do another one that made me a little more money.
And I did only do the pizza delivery for about 5 months because I just couldn't handle not sleeping.
Yeah.
So there are places where there's a breaking point.
Good.
And I found them. I found them, definitely.
You got to find your breaking point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also replaced all of my hobbies with things that would make me money. Mm-hmm. So I actually play roller derby, which is a very fun thing.
Roller derby made you money?
No, I replaced hobbies with things that made me money. So I replaced roller derby.
Like you became a professional roller derbyist? That's amazing. Dog trainer, roller derby, pizza delivery.
It was insane.
Sounds like an insane town. I'm sure
you could probably charge for ads on your shirt and make some money doing roller derby.
Potentially.
I mean, yeah.
That's true.
You gotta test it out.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
So specifically from the perspective of someone paying down debt without like another person to aid in the bill. So as a single person, when this was happening, what did you find were some of the challenges of paying off debt as a single person and advantages, like both sides to this, but curious to pick your brain on that piece.
So there's the obvious downfall of what I can bring in is as much as there's going to be. Mm-hmm. I cannot pay outside of my capacity to earn. Mm-hmm. So 100% of the responsibility is on me. However, there's a lot of freedom in not having anyone stopping you. I see a lot of posts online about like how to get your spouse on board or when two people are kind of at different levels of effort in trying to get out of debt or meet money goals. Because I was just me, I could focus in 100% on what I was doing and then achieve it without having to essentially form a committee to make any decisions with my money. If I wanted to eat ramen for a week, nobody to stop me.
Yeah.
I probably should have stopped me, but, I could pick things that I would want to eat. For instance, I'm in a relationship now. Figuring out something to eat is like half of the energy.
Oh, isn't it though? Half of a relationship is just figuring out what to eat.
What do you want?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
how about this place? No.
Yeah.
I'm down for anything, but not that or that or that.
Yeah.
Ew, you want to eat there?
So I didn't have to deal with that. I only had to focus in on what was between me and my goals. So if I wanted to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 2 weeks straight for lunch, that's on me. And I'm not going out to eat. I'm not doing anything like that. Everything was my decision. And therefore, I had a lot of freedom towards how fast I wanted my pace to be.
That's such a good point, because the other day, my husband and I were on our way to a concert and I was fine with apples and chickpea salad and he was not. So I ate that in the car and we had to go through the drive-thru of Chick-fil-A for him to get something he wanted. Luckily, though, get this, Chick-fil-A, this is such a side tangent, I'm sorry. Chick-fil-A has drive-thru day. And they gave us like a gift card for a free sandwich on our next visit because it was drive-through day. So there was a little bit of like a, I still kind of won, but usually it doesn't work that way.
That's funny. I mean, good for Eric to not just be sustained on chickpea salad and apples. Like,
That good for Eric? Whose side are you on here?
I'm usually on yours. I'm just balanced because he hears all this.
Yeah, I mean, I could honestly see it both ways because like there were some days where I was like, I've got, you know, dinner ready. It's planned. I don't want it. I'm going to use like some of my personal money and go do something else.
Yeah.
And there was no one that I was disappointing by doing that. And there was no one to stop me or encourage me or anything. It was all my decision.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any accountability, like partners or anybody that you were talking to about it?
I had YouTube. So when I moved to Atlanta, I started a YouTube channel. And at the time I was the only single person or low income person out there with like a debt payoff channel that I knew of. There were a few people in the space. There was like Lydia Sin. There was Debt is Dumb. There was His and Her Money. But like all of those guys are married. All those guys were making more than what I was. There was no one really talking about single person money or low income money or debt free journey.
That's the key, is that not only did you pay off debt as a single person, but such a low income. Mm-hmm. That's what gets me, because I think for my husband and I, we still have a bit more debt to pay off. Hopefully within a year we'll be done. But the thing with us is that we've had such low income. And so, you know, I thought that there was going to be some trick to it when I kind of got into this world of how do people do it? I'm like, oh, like they make a lot of money. Like there's no way you can pay off $110,000 in 2 years unless you're making six figures. Like there's no real magic to it. Mm-hmm. You just have to make a crap ton of money to pay off a crap ton of debt. And so, yeah, that's why I love what you're doing and kind of showing that this is accessible for anybody.
Yeah. Now, if I had had $100,000 in debt and was making $26,000 a year, it would have been a different story. Yeah. And I would still be slogging through it. But despite the fact that the ratio of my income to my debt was not ideal, it's not possible to do it on a low income. Mm-hmm. You just might have to work a little harder. It's not going to be just cutting out coffee or restaurants. It's going to be, you have to increase your income. Mm-hmm. And I, my income, and through all of that at debt.
Yeah. But you still had more debt than you had income. And I think that mental barrier stops a lot of people, because somebody that makes $50,000 has $75,000 of debt has the same block, even though they are just as capable as you were to pay off that amount of debt in as little time as you did. So there's a big mental barrier to get through.
Especially since there is a kind of minimum cost of living. Mm-hmm. It varies by area, but everyone's going to have to pay rent. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to have to buy food. It's going to cost a certain amount for you and your family to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very privileged to be operating above that. And for much of my debt-free journey, I was operating at or below the poverty line. So I understand how tight that was. And that's why I put so much effort into earning additional income on the side while I waited for opportunities to earn more regular income.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, and it was kind of a blessing to be single during that time, because if I'd had a kid, I wouldn't have been able to spend my nights delivering pizzas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or doing all these side hustles, especially if I hadn't had a husband. So, but because I was alone, it gave me the freedom of whatever time I could dedicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent job, man. That takes determination.
Yeah. I love following your journey on YouTube, Budget Girl on YouTube. So definitely, if you haven't subscribed, definitely head over there and check out her archives from her debt-free journey. And also you have a ton of great videos now on just different frugal things. So you're still, and the quality of the videos just keeps getting better and better. So they're all great.
Back when I was getting out of debt, I wasn't investing any money into the YouTube channel. I was shooting on an iPhone 4.
Yes.
You probably shouldn't have if you did not live in a good neighborhood. Like that was a good decision.
Yeah. So my first videos were literally my phone balance and a bunch of books because I didn't have a tripod.
Because you were budget girl from the very beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
It was,
gosh, it would have been weird if you had high like production.
It would have been
quality.
Disingenuous is what it would have been.
I would have gotten called out so hard so fast.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
People would call me out for like McDonald's and they'd be like, you could have put towards that. And I'd be
oh
like,
my gosh.
Guys, man.
Oh my gosh. I'm also human. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Let's remember that. Now that you have a boyfriend, how do you guys handle money together?
So I have always been a fan of equality in a relationship, and that extends to finances. Not everyone has to agree with me, but that's just the way my little brain works. So like from the beginning, we were splitting dates, not necessarily going Dutch, but he'd buy dinner one night, I'd buy dinner the next night, that kind of thing. He did pay on our first date, but it never seemed right to me. To expect him to bear the financial burden. There was also the issue of he was still a student when we started dating. So I was debt free. So I was in a much better position financially. So now that we've been together for 2 years and we live together, we split the household bills. So rent, electricity, internet equally, just down the center. He has a full-time, very good job now. He makes more at his day job than I do at mine. But we split those equally. And then we both take out of our individual budgets for like groceries. So he'll buy 1 week, I'll buy the next week, that kind of thing. And we still kind of go on and off for dates.
So is he the one who then on his week for groceries, does he pick out and meal plan? Does it go that deep or is it just solely finances?
We tend to meal plan together if we do, or it's pandemonium. Yep. He's more of a foodie than I am. See my reference about what I was eating when I was getting out of debt. Like I could totally eat cereal every night. So I have increased the food budget quite a bit. Nice. Just to make sure it's even, because he likes to eat a little bougier.
That's awesome. Yeah, at least his tastes go that way. My husband is like white bread and Eggo waffles all the way.
We bought Eggo waffles yesterday for Travis. Yep. That's him. And I'm the bougie one. And I just like to make my own waffles.
Yeah. So what would be your biggest piece of advice? Like as you look back on this journey, when you were a single person, what advice would you give to somebody else in a similar situation, being single and trying to pay down debt and live more frugally? What are some tips you have?
Well, I'm sure you won't be surprised by this, seeing as my online moniker is Budget Girl, but I believe 10,000,000% in the power of the budget, because by accounting for every single dollar that you make and writing down where it's going to go, you make sure that it's doing what you want it to do. So before I was a budgeter, I was always just kind of spending based on whether I had any money in my account. And that does not leave a lot of room for goal planning and doing like smart things with my money. When you don't have a budget, it just kind of disappears. Mm-hmm. Your money just goes away and you don't know where it was. So there's something very freeing. It's not restrictive. Mm-hmm. It can be very freeing to have a budget in place. And you know that as long as you follow that budget that you've made, you're going to meet your money goals. Mm-hmm. So I regularly now have way more money than I even want to spend available for me to just kind of spend on like fun stuff or personal stuff. It gives me permission to spend within that and have a good time and do and get the things that I want and need without jeopardizing my retirement or my savings for like a house and that kind of stuff. So, and back when I was making so much less, every penny was imperative. Like every single penny that I could put towards debt was important to getting me out of it. So by accounting for every single penny in there, I could pay all my bills and pay on debt and get out of debt as fast as I could.
I love what you said about gamifying it and just using that term. Can you describe that a little bit? Because I feel like there's some really good principles in that for anybody trying to get out of debt, like single or married.
So I also talked about how frugality is a muscle. So by gamifying me being able to save money, it was me cutting down my budget by $10 for that week or $40 for that month, and then having to make a game out of it of okay, what am I going to do differently that's going to save me that money so that I can put that $40 towards debt so that I can get out of debt 1 month sooner or one day sooner? And that would sometimes involve like going to multiple different grocery stores or like making a crazy meal plan or volunteering at a place where they were like serving food to volunteers and then volunteering to take the leftovers home. Like,
yes.
I never did anything unethical other than selling cigarettes, which I didn't realize until now.
I'm sure the person who bought the cigarettes was super grateful when normally they're $7 a pack and they could get them for $4 from you. So no one's upset there.
It was pointed out to me very recently by Marissa, the budgeting wife, that that is probably very illegal to sell cigarettes without a license.
We won't tell anyone.
He was of age. He was my coworker, and
your friend was giving you a donation for something you had already purchased.
There you go. So and once I had kind of like my personal spending under control, I was, you know, meal prepping, and that saved. So I brought food to lunch every single day, and I never ate out because that's a huge money drain, and I used that more as a treat for like, If I didn't eat out for 2 weeks straight, I'd go eat out and that would be a treat. And I kind of reimagined how that worked in my head. And same thing with side hustling. I'd go to yard sales that I used to go just to buy stuff I didn't need. Instead, I'd go with the intent to purchase things for resale. And I'd set myself a challenge of like, I want to make $50 reselling and I only want to spend $5. And so I'd put that work in. And when you get the payoff of you sell something that you got for $5 for like $50, It's like you want a game.
It starts to become addicting. If you set it up in that way for yourself, these little challenges.
Yeah. When I wrote the No Spend Challenge Guide, that's what I marketed it as, is it's gamifying frugality. Like, it's not a sustainable doing a no spend challenge isn't a no spend lifestyle. It's just a way to gamify figuring out what you value and to become more frugal and to develop like values-based spending. So I love that concept too.
Yeah. And so every month it seemed like I had a bigger amount of money that I could put towards debt. And that also felt like winning because I could see that debt number go down. And I even put it when I was in debt on each video. Like the day that I published the video, I would put in the title how much debt I had that day. So it also became accountable for me, because I didn't want to disappoint anyone. I wanted them to be able to see my number going down and going down fast.
It's amazing what community can do for us also. And we've seen that just in the 1 year that we've been doing this podcast, just the support that can come from it, the understanding, the different tips and ideas, and just wanting to stay on track because you feel like you're a part of something. So in addition to gamifying, there's something else that we really love.
This is the most fun part of the show. It's
the bill of the week. That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Every week, we invite someone to share with us their favorite bill. And as a guest on our show, we would like you to do the honor of sharing your Bill of the Week. So do you have one for us?
Well, I don't have many bills left anymore because I'm out of debt. So my Bill of the Week, the one I've been working for and towards, is kind of a dream of a bill. I dream of a mortgage, you guys. I have my current big money goal is to purchase a multifamily property.
And yes, house hacking.
House hack it, yeah. To rent out some one or two units and then live in like a third or a fourth or, you know, duplex, divide that math as you will. And so my dream is to have that bill one day and for my tenants to pay it for me.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yes.
If you're,
that's the best bill. Someone else pays.
If you're unfamiliar with house hacking, we talk about it in our buy or rent episode a few episodes back. But yes, I love that concept. That's kind of what we're doing. We have just a single family, but we rent out the front room and bathroom on Airbnb, and it is fantastic to have your bill paid by somebody else, your mortgage bill.
Yeah. To that end, I'm currently trying to save up a big old honking down payment. And I just closed out my July budget today or yesterday, because today is the first. And I put $817 towards that future bill.
Yes, that feels good.
Yes.
Yes. And you're in Texas, where housing is like as cheap as water from a river, so that's fantastic.
In some places here it can be a little. There's a triplex or duplexes near the college will go for $250,000 just because of their location.
Yeah,
they don't even have nice duplexes, but it is more affordable than like California,
yeah,
or New York or something. Obviously, so it can be reasonable here, but obviously, I wish it were cheaper.
I just think of all the HGTV shows that have come since Fixer Upper, and how they're turning all these affordable diamonds in the rough into like really nice neighborhoods. And I'm like, can you stop?
Yeah. I was at the gym this morning and I saw a Fixer Upper episode on one of the TVs where one of the houses was $15,000. I was like, no, you can't even buy a piece of wood for $15,000 around me.
God, now.
Yeah. Nothing like that in Florida anymore.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, at least in St. Petersburg.
How far off are you, Sarah, from this bill you hope to have?
Pretty far off, unfortunately, because I'm looking for like ideally a triplex. I was looking at one the other day that was not very close to the college and was therefore a little more affordable because it would attract like families instead of college students. And it was $240,000. For a triplex. And so down payment on that would be like 50 grand. And right now I have like 16 grand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's more than we put down on our house. Mm-hmm. We didn't do the recommended 20%, obviously. So
I would really like to avoid the PMI, but at the same time, I'm such a cautious person and I'm such like a slow person when it comes to money stuff. Like it took me forever to figure out where I was going to like invest in which index funds and stuff like that. I'm slow as molasses. So I'm a little scared that like the house fever is going to get to me and I'm going to be like, no, this is the one. Let me put down, you know.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you've got money coming in from the property you've bought, then you've made a much wiser decision than most. So.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's a good property, that's a good deal that doesn't require a ton of work, I'd pay for the PMI to avoid stress of a major fix-up.
Yeah.
Gladly.
Well, this has been a long bill of the week. We love it.
I know.
If you want to submit your bill of the week, visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill to leave us a bill that you just paid off, that you want to start paying, that you want someone else to pay for you, or just some random person named Bill, whatever it is.
Maybe not even random. Maybe like somebody you really love whose name is Bill. I don't know. It doesn't have to be random.
Yeah. Well, this leads us right into my next favorite time of the week, the lightning round. Pew, 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 pew. Choo, choo, choo.
This is Jill's thing.
Sometimes it's Jen's thing too. Don't let her fool you. She secretly loves this. Who doesn't secretly love this?
I don't know.
They'll probably tell me about it in their review.
We'll see it in a review for sure. Please don't let us know how you feel about the lightning round in the review.
Unless you love it. Unless that's the reason for your 5 stars. Have at it.
Yeah. All right. So in honor of having Budget Girl on the show, Sarah, we want to know some of your budgeting tips. So I'm sure you are very used to giving these. So just give us a few of your budgeting tips for budgeting beginners and people that maybe want to hone their budgeting skills.
Okay. First off, double check your numbers. And just double check your formulas or your numbers or your math or however you're doing it on pen and paper. Always go through twice, because sometimes a cell will not like crossover, or you'll forget to carry a number and things will go crazy and that's going to take you a while to fix. So even I do that sometimes. Check yo math.
So you're still on a spreadsheet?
Yes. I'm a spreadsheet girl. I do recognize that some of the apps are probably a little more foolproof than my spreadsheet, but I like making notes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. It can help to feel in control, because if I can make a mistake, it feels like so could an app.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just as good as an app.
And apps get bought out and they change and stuff. Like Google Sheets ain't going nowhere.
Right. I could pull up my budget from January of 2014 right now and tell you exactly how much I made and how much I spent at the grocery store. And for some reason, that brings me a lot of joy. And I understand that that's weird.
I mean, they don't call you budget girl for nothing.
Next up, give yourself a category where you have just a little bit of kind of miscellaneous wiggle room. So that is for when you need shampoo or a shoelace breaks or something just weird happens that doesn't work into anywhere else in your budget. For me, I always had kind of a $20 to $30 a month cushion in what I called my personal line. And that accounted for a lot of things that I couldn't put into like groceries or, you know, gas, rent, etc. And just having a place for the weird expenses to go is mentally helpful.
Mm-hmm. Just like a drunk drawer. You need that for your budget.
You need a drunk drawer for your budget. Can I steal that? I want to steal.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Junk drawer category. Copyright Frugal Friends.
Yes. Another t-shirt, another bumper sticker.
And three, have a goal that you're working towards. So whether you are trying to get out of debt, or whether you are trying to like save for a house or a vacation or a car, have something so that at the bottom of your budget, if you have any leftover money, you can put it towards a mission and not just spend it. Mm-hmm. Because it is so tempting to just spend it. But if you have something that you are working towards, it can go there. You can feel accomplished. It will reinforce this habit of budgeting and help you get there just that much closer.
Nice. Besides your house, your future house, what are some of the other things that you've like saved up for since paying off debt? Because that's a question we get, like, how do we keep up our momentum and like stay committed after we pay off debt?
So when I got out of debt, I started putting $100 a month into a travel fund.
Nice.
And I have gone on a cruise since then, which was so much fun. I consider my debt-free vacation paid for entirely in cash that I'd saved up my travel fund. I have got some new furniture.
You need that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I've seen your couch on social media. It is my dream couch. You have my dream couch.
I spend a lot of time on that chaise, and it's one of my favorite things on the planet. Like, that is where all of my video editing gets done. That is where I'm at my desk right now in my office, which is never used. It's only used as a backdrop, but that's because I didn't want to hold the microphone. But yeah, I got some new furniture. I haven't done a lot of upgrades. I haven't gotten a new car, though I saved for when I do need a new car. I guess the big thing I've been saving for is retirement, because I didn't put anything away while I was in debt. So now I'm really maxing out my Roth IRA for that and just making sure that I have ton of money for when I retire so I can live
perfect.
Live it good.
Yeah, I think retirement is a great place to stash your extra money. So where can people find more about you and what do you have going on over at Budget Girl?
Absolutely. So I make videos every week on YouTube and my channel over there is Budget Girl. So youtube.com/budgetgirl. I also have a brand new website, gobudgetgirl.com, where I do lots of free printables and articles and just fun ways to help you save money and live a more frugal, fabulous life. And I am on every social media except Snapchat, because I think Snapchat is stupid. And come at me at Go Budget Girl.
Good. All right. I love that. Yes. I've never had a Snapchat either. So I admire you for that.
I don't even know what Snapchat is. I'm going to be honest with you. This is why I'm the 82-year-old who feels like a millennial sometimes. Because when I do things that millennials do, it feels awkward to me, but I'm proud of myself.
Yeah. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we will catch you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That was awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Such good perspective. I mean, for anybody, but I feel like she is the epitome of anyone can do this.
Yes.
Not that it wasn't a ton of work for her, but you know, you've got so many people who are like, I don't make enough money, or I'm single, I can't do it like all you married people, mm-hmm. or whatever the case is. She just kind of cuts through it and says, look,
yeah,
what I did.
Yeah. And she didn't have a roommate for any of the time she was paying off debt. She went through two mm-hmm. moves. She had a pet. She still has a pet. So like, it's not like she lived under a rock
right.
for 3 years. Like, the girl did good. And so she's an inspiration, I think. I mean, not just to single people paying off debt, for anybody. Mm-hmm. She's just an amazing, amazing woman. So mm-hmm. kudos, Sarah, if you're listening to this, we love you. Mm. I'm going to go out and say it. I'm going to be vulnerable.
Wow, you were. That was out on a limb. Mm. You don't even tell me you love me. I don't think you've ever told me you love me.
Jill.
Oh,
I love you.
Did you just say it? You just said it for the first time and I was mocking you. Oh no, that's why you don't love me.
That's why I love you.
I love you too, Jen.
Aww. Aww. I also love the Google Friends book club.
And apparently love just gets thrown around here.
There's only two things. So. There's only two things I love, and it's Jill and the book club.
We all know that's not true. You are placating me and I'm okay with it.
Take it. And our book this month is The Minimalist Home by Joshua Becker. We are back with Becker. We read his book, The More of Less, and The Minimalist Home turning out to be just as good.
I can't take you right now. There's something happening. And I think it's just that it's past my bedtime. Anyhow, if you want a free book, you could do that. You could get that. And here's how.
It's still light outside, Jill. I just want everybody to know that can't see the video. Okay.
But listen, if it was winter time, it'd be dark.
Right.
So it's all relative. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. If you want a free copy of the book, of the book by Joshua Becker, because like Jen said, we're back with Becker, apparently. So leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, screenshot that review and send it to us. Email us at frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll select the winners, one for every 5 reviews that get submitted to us will get a book. So yes. Chances are real good.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to know an example of a helpful review, here is our review of the week. It is from V Fields. They say, my new favorite. I listen to a lot of podcasts and this one has become one of my favorites. I love the humor, the friendship, and the openness of seeing that there are different ways of accomplishing goals. Keep up the great work.
Oh, and then yes. 3 exclamation marks. Thank you for that punctuation.
Thank you, V.
Well, we're going to wrap this thing up. See you next week.
Bye. Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
What's happening?
I love you, Jill.
Haven't recorded. Oh, I love you too. That time I was open to receiving it. When was the last time we recorded this late? I think it's been a while. Not since before you were pregnant.
We usually record early in the day. Yeah, this one's late.
It's not that late. I will disclose. It is 8:15 right now, PM. But
this is the third episode we have recorded today.
On top of the work that I've done today and all the cooking. Yeah. I actually cooked tonight. I made plantains and like a really nice rice with like peppers and onions in it and jerk chicken.
Oh my gosh. I made plantains last night.
I weren't. I love you. This is why people give us 1 star.
Yeah, this is not the real part of the podcast. This is not the part you should review.
This is just the much anticipated part for our avid listeners.
Yes.
That sometimes we don't include because we don't always have something to talk about.
Oh, but we always talk, even if we don't have something to say.
Yeah.
And scene.
Oh, man. That's good.